Luke 24, if you will, please. I'd like to go this direction this morning. We do this, or I try to do this each year, as we look at really what took place after the resurrection. And coming now to this portion of Scripture to see that what really took place after. You know, there's a lot of hype and excitement about Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. What went on afterwards? And this is an interesting story. Most of you know this story. If you will, jump down to verse 13, please. I thank you for bringing your Bibles. And verse 13, notice, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus," which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs, not very far. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" What's wrong? "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." Notice verse 21. "But we trusted, we hoped, we thought that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they had found not the body, or his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And notice verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets." That's the Old Testament. "He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Interesting story, isn't it? You've read this many times, I'm sure. But I like this because Jesus, he doesn't mess around, does he? I mean, you think about the doubt and fear today among God's people. God's people today, so many of them are so fearful. They're so doubtful. And again, I'm in that boat just along with many of them so often because there's a lot of struggles and trials in life and problems that come our way, and we get a little bit fearful sometimes. Everything happening right now with what's going on at the Vatican and Pope died, trying to figure out who's the next Pope and all these kind of prophetic things that they're talking about, all these weird things that they're talking about taking place. A lot of people get so confused and fearful. Now, those of us that know the Bible, we're not fearful, we're not scared, because we know the end story. We know the result of everything. Okay, and I'm a little frustrated, I guess you could say, about, you know, some of these leading evangelical men and even women have come out publicly and really kind of played footsies with the Catholic Church and playing, you know, feel so sorry for the Catholics, they lost their Pope and whatnot. Folks, we got to know our Bibles. I say that often, and I know that some people don't like me saying that stuff, but again, we are adamantly opposed to what the Pope says, what he preaches, what he says, what he's done. He's always adamantly been against churches like ours, and we know that. That's throughout human history, but I think about how many people follow that stuff and get so confused and so messed up, and here's the reason. Here's the number one thing. Notice this, verse 25. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You don't know your Bible. We don't know our Bible. Now, here's the characteristic, or one of them, of the people of the latter days. Okay, here it is. They're confused. The Bible says they know not the Scriptures, and therefore, they're going to be duped and deceived to go right into tune in line with the Antichrist. In fact, if you've been following the news, there's a couple of people. In fact, just there's one individual right now that has popped up on the scene, and he's claiming to be the he calls himself the successor of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've seen this guy. He wears all black, and he's, you know, he's associated with Muslims, and he's trying to bring everyone together, blah, blah, blah. I don't know who he is, but we don't really care. He claims to be some kind of successor of Muhammad, successor of Jesus Christ, blah, blah, blah. We think about it. Now, we're not scared of that. Listen, we've been dealing with people like that for 2,000 years, right? We know these fools and these lunatics will pop up from time to time. We know our Bible. Okay, now let's look at some of this today. We've dissected these verses before, but I want to go back and see what's going on after the resurrection. Well, here's something. After all the hoopla and excitement, we got to be careful not to lose our momentum. Okay, we lose our momentum. People get real excited, and then six weeks later, they go, whoa, I don't know what happened. I want to keep the momentum going. Again, our theme for the year is thrive, and I want to keep thriving. Now, let's go back to verse 13 and walk through some of this to see. Notice this, two of them went the same day. Okay, now this is the day that the ladies came back and said, hey, fellas, guess what? The tomb's empty. And guess what? An angel told us that he's not here, he's risen. And those fellas, as we studied last week, what'd they say? No way. No way, man. No way. Peter and John get up, and the two kind of exciting apostles get up, and they start running. And the Gospel of John says he outran Peter because Peter's a little older. And they get to the tomb, and they look in, and no one's in there. And an angel speaks to them. And it says, well, he's not here. Like he said, you remember. And they go out. This is the same day. Now they come back to the group of people. Again, you know this. There's a huddled group of people together, a small little group of people that are Jesus' followers, obviously his mother, some of his brothers, possibly some believe sisters are there, and then his apostles, some of the disciples, some of the people that he healed. They're all huddled together, remember, out of fear of the Romans. And they go back and say, hey, the tomb's empty. And they go, no way. Not one person in that group believed that he was alive. Now, one person in that group said, hey, you remember that he told it? Wait a second. Hang on a second. He told it. Didn't he say something? Remember a couple weeks ago he told? Not one person. You know that? And I believe it's coming soon today. The unsaved. Now, God's going to come back. Lord's going to return real soon and take us home. But those that will be left that claim Christ but obviously aren't saved because they're left behind, they're going to start saying, whoa, what's going on? What happened? I have no idea, because they're in churches that don't preach the Bible. I mean, you think about this. Some of you have visited other churches. Obviously, you come from other churches, and praise God for these other churches that do preach the gospel. But again, you know some of these churches, these guys get up, and they get up and read one verse, close the Bible, and then for the next 35 minutes or whatever, they talk about themselves and their philosophy of life and their psychological nonsense. It's like, I don't need to hear what you have to say. I know you're a smart individual. You went to seminary. You probably got all these degrees on your wall. You could have 32 degrees on your wall, be ice cold, right? You understand today. Now listen, you say, I want to know the Bible. I got to know the Bible. Brother Tim, shut your mouth. Stop talking about yourself and tell me what the Bible says, right? That's what I want to know. Why? Because I need to know what it says. And notice these two individuals, they fail to follow, just like the others, the Word of God. And they talk together. I like this. Verse 15, notice this. And it came to pass while they communed together, notice, and reasoned. You know what they were doing? These were smart intellectual men or people, and they're reasoning. What do you think it means? Again, philosophizing, we call it. What do you think it means that the apostles came and said his tomb is empty? What do you think it means when Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Oh, something about, no, it means just go out and share the gospel with people. That's all it means. What do you think it means when Jesus said, oh, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail? It means go to church. God's in control. Nothing will stop this church except for us. Nothing will blow this church apart and split it and we'll have to sell it and divide the assets or whatever, however that happens, except for us. See, Jesus will not make this thing or shut this thing down. It's going to be us. We know that. Now, think about it. These people are thinking and reasoning in their minds of what's happening. Now, you know what the prophet says. Isaiah says this. God says to Isaiah to tell the people. Notice what he says. Come now. You know the rest of it? Come now, comma, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Isn't that amazing? You know what the Lord is saying? Come now, let's reason. Do you have questions? Yeah. Real intellectual people. I don't know that you know this stuff like this can't happen and physically and scientifically and biologically those things. We got to think about it. Now you're reasoning. Jesus said, "Come on, reason. You got questions? Come on." The reason people won't come to Jesus and ask questions cuz they don't want to know the truth. And you think about it. No, listen, ask questions. He says, "Let's reason. You come together, let's have a little meeting, get a cup of coffee and let's sit down and talk." And notice what he says. The Bible says in verse 5, they reasoned, Jesus himself drew nigh and went with them. I like that. The reasoning. Well, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what that means. There's some kind of meaning behind this. And Jesus walks up behind them. What are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about? What are you doing? And think about this. Their eyes, verse 16, were holding that they should not know him. Now again, people say Jesus is being deceptive here. He's not being deceptive. Not one bit. Notice what it says. Their eyes were holding that they shouldn't see. They were too busy, stuck on their own understanding and reasoning. They were too busy, stuck on themselves. And that's where I am most of the time during the week. I'm too busy, stuck on myself, too busy, stuck on what to do, how to get out of debt, what are we going to do, how are we going to fix this, blah, 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 a bunch of nonsense, right? I'm too busy, stuck on myself, and the Lord is trying to speak to me. The Lord is trying to tell me, hey, this is the way I want you to go. This is the direction. Can I say today, are you seeking Jesus when he does come and abide with you or walk up behind you, not physically? When he does come and say, hey, this is the way I want you to go, are we so quick to turn a blind eye? Are we so quick to that? He says, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk in our stead? Again, every time Jesus asks a question, we've said this many times, it's not to obtain information. He's omniscient. You know, when you're asked a question, when you have those questions pop up in your mind, I tell my wife this, I try to read a lot of books, but I'll skim through books, and I have stacks and stacks of books in my office that I never finish. Are you like that? And so I have all this random information stuck in this brain that means nothing. Right? And I always say, hey, I wanted to tell you something. She says, is it pertinent to what we're talking about right now? I say, no. She says, okay, just keep that thought to yourself for a minute. I got just random stuff pops out. I don't know what that is. Weird. What is this communication you're talking about? He says, well, what are you guys going through? Now, think about this. He says, now, what is it that you're seeking? The question is not to, notice, obtain an answer. It is always to get us to realize or see where we are. Adam, Eve, where are you? Remember in the garden? Hey, where are you guys at? Wanted to have a little fellowship this evening. Did he know where they were? Yeah. Shivering over and off to the corner with some leaves, you know. What are you doing over there? We're naked. Who told you were naked? The serpent. And then he had a little meeting together with everybody. Serpent, Eve. Okay, what happened? Well, the woman, she gave me the fruit to eat. And then he says, woman? Well, the serpent. And then the serpent. Down the line of blame shifting. Never ask a question to get something. Now think about this. When there is a question that pops into your mind about something, don't scoff it off or throw it off as, oh, that, I don't know what that, where that came from. I need to understand and find it out. Now again, this is why we have a Bible in our own language. This is why we have the scriptures that are inspired, preserved, kept for us today as we're studying in our Bible Institute, which I love it. It's so amazing to think about. You and I have a Bible today we can trust. It's in our language. And we can rely upon this Bible. We can trust it. Why? Not because of man's dirty hands all over it, because of the Holy Spirit inspiration. The Bible says, Peter writes this and says that holy men of God were moved to write the pen or to pen the letter. Again, we said this many times, but if a man wrote this Bible, he would not write of all his problems, sins, and shortcomings and failures with the Lord. He would write a letter. Peter would have wrote a letter and said, you know, I was one of the most faithful apostles. And, you know, I was just such a good... No, what did he write? He wrote about things that he didn't want to talk about. Man, they're embarrassing. Denied the Lord, messed up, all kinds of stuff. So we know it was penned by the Holy Spirit. Now again, coming back to this, these communications that we're talking about were the wrong communications. How many communications do you have with others that are the wrong communications? What are we talking about? We're talking about lack of faith. We're talking about this reasoning in our own hearts and minds and failures to know the word. And they talk about these things. Now, verse 18, it says, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Thou not know the things which are come to pass? You a stranger? How do you not know these things? He said unto them, what things? He says, explain. Tell me more. Now, here's something kind of scary to think about. Do you know when you stand before Christ and give an account for your life? This is the scary part for me. You know the scary part? When you stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for your life. Now, you that are saved, you will not give an account for your sins. We know that. Okay. That's later. That's for the unsaved. For the saved, we don't give an account for our sins. We give an account for what we did for Christ. And you know it's going to be one of the most sad days in our lives. It's going to be a tragic day because most of us are going to, our heads are going to go down. We're going to be weeping and crying because we did so little for God, didn't we? I mean, you're so busy about thinking about where you're going to go to school. You're so busy, if you're like me, thinking about how you're going to make money and get out of debt. You're so busy thinking about, okay, the kids, I got to raise the kids right, got to do this right. All these things and forget about Jesus. I'm preaching to myself today, pardon me. All these things. Now, we're going to give an account for that. And notice, he says, what things? What things? Tell me. Come on. Tell me more about it. Tell me more about what you know about me. Tell me more what you know about this Bible. Tell me more what you know about this. The average Christian today can't quote but five verses. The average Christian today hasn't spent but 5 minutes in prayer this week. The average Christian today, if you were to ask him to pray for you or one of your loved ones, would mumble, bumble, and stumble through a prayer because they don't usually pray. The average, I'm talking about average Christians, right? And I thank God for all of you. I'm not preaching to you folks because you guys are faithful. You know your Bibles. You do pray. And I'm so grateful to be able to stand here and preach to you. But you think about it. Notice what he says. Hey, what things are you talking about? Tell me more. I want to know what you know. You sit down in an investigator's office after committing a crime. What do? They play with you, don't they? They don't come out and go, well, we think you did it. No, because you'll run out. I want a lawyer. I'm out of here. No, they play with you for a while, don't they? Hey, tell me what you know about Susie Q. Oh, well, she was my girlfriend and, you know. Okay, well, what, where were you on Friday, May the 5th? Oh, well, Jesus says, hey, tell me what you know. I want to find out what you know. I'm not going to give you all the answers. I'm not going to give you all the information. I said on Wednesday, we were walking through the book of Ephesians. We would like to lay down and just have the Bible downloaded to our hard drive. Wouldn't that be nice? Just take a thumb drive and stick it in the side of our head. There's the whole Bible. There's all the understanding. Wow, no, God doesn't allow us to do that. Why? Because we got to walk through this life by faith. We don't walk by sight, he says to the church at Corinth. We walk by faith. And so therefore, we got to go through some trials and difficulties. We got to experience life. Many of you dear people are dealing with pain right now as you're sitting there. You're dealing with arthritis. Some are dealing with cancer. Other things you're going through. And I know that God is walking us through these things and helping us. So again, can you and I answer the questions Jesus has for us today? Can you answer the questions? No, I can't. Here they go through verse 20 and talk about how the chief priests, rulers delivered him to be condemned unto death and have crucified him. But notice verse 21, circle this in your Bible, but we trusted. But we trusted. Do you see that? Again, we trust. See, our reasoning, Mr. Stranger, our reasoning, let me tell you what it is. We trust, they crucified him, they put him in the grave. He, you know, his body's now missing. But here's our understanding. We trusted that he was supposed to take over and rule and reign. Again, we know this. They had the wrong eschatology. They had the wrong timing. The first time, which was prophesied, as Jesus will, in just a minute, go through every Old Testament verse. Every Old Testament verse from Genesis to Malachi, every verse that contains a prophecy about him. Now, can you imagine standing there for 30 minutes listening to Jesus quote scripture after just standing there going? And these fellas still didn't recognize it was Jesus. Now think about this. But we trusted, I like this part, that he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. He was supposed to come and rule and reign. See, the Messiah is supposed to come. The Jews still believe this. You know this. They believe their Messiah is coming. Now, many Jews that reject Jesus as the Messiah are going to fall hook, line, and sinker for the Antichrist. We know that. That's scriptural. Why? Because they're still waiting for their Messiah. Their Messiah is going to come. He's going to claim to know all of these things. He's going to be empowered by Satan, and therefore he's going to have this knowledge and understanding, and he's going to be able to quote the scriptures, both the Quran and the Bible. He's going to quote all these things, and they're going to look at him and go, this must be the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. Now, Now, then Jesus will come, and the Bible says all eyes will behold him, and then every knee will bow and confess with their mouths, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. They're still waiting for this Messiah. They trusted that he would come the first time and put his foot down and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rule and reign. I'm going to go straight into Pilate, overthrow. Then from there, I'm going to hop and skip and jump over the Mediterranean Sea and go over to Rome and overthrow Caesar and rule and reign and set my scepter down on this earth for all of eternity. Wrong. Wrong timing. Sorry about that, fellas. Wrong timing. We trusted he had been. You know how many people today do that? They believe Jesus is something that he's not. They believe Jesus is supposed to do this. And when Jesus won't do what they were hoping and won't fulfill their plan and won't heal their child and won't heal their spouse and their marriage falls apart, they all point the finger to Jesus. Well, wow. You know how many people I talk to that I ask, hey, I want to invite you to church, or hey, do you have time I could talk to you about the gospel? You know, one of the number one answers is, well, I used to go to church. I used to be faithful, but, and then I say, well, what happened? And you know, they always say some tragedy, something bad happened, something didn't get fulfilled, and they just throw Jesus aside, right? No thanks. I tried him once. I used to be a Christian. By the way, that is not a statement we can use. You used to be a Christian, it doesn't make sense. If you're truly saved, you're always a Christian. You're a child of God. If you're truly saved, you don't back away and step outside of church and leave Jesus as they say high and dry. No. You are faithful to the Lord. Okay, now, think about this. A few more points here. We'll wrap it up. He said, we trusted that he had been he redeeming Israel. Well, yeah, he did come to redeem Israel. Yes. Again, wrong understanding of the word redeem. We studied this a couple Wednesday nights ago. The word redemption comes from what? Being literally taken off the slave market. They're up on the slave blocks. And Jesus walked in and said, yeah, I'll take Tim, number whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, come on down. Now it goes farther than that. Redemption carries with it. Not only did he buy me, okay, he took me home and he threw me some clothes and said, okay, change those filthy, dirty rags. Oh, okay, thank you. Go into the bathroom back there and take a shower and get cleaned up. Oh, thank you very much. Come back out. Okay, great. Sir, what do you want me to do? I'm here as your servant. Oh, no. You're no longer a slave. You're now one of my sons. Really? Yeah. And you have all the privileges of being a son now and a daughter. You have all the privileges of that. Here's the keys to the house, and here's the keys to my brand new Corvette, and here's the keys to the pantry. Just help yourself. You can have whatever you want. Anytime you need money, you just come and ask me, and I'll give you what you need. See, that's what Jesus did. A lot of people think, well, after all this labor and prayer and fasting and all that I did, I finally got a hold of Jesus. No, sir. He came into the slave market and bought your sorry behind, talking to myself. He came in and said, hey, I want to take you off the slave market. Now, they said, we thought he would redeem Israel. Well, he did that, sir. He did that. But you're hoping that he would redeem Israel by way of ruling and reigning. Verse 22, yea, also, and certain women of our company, made us astonished which were early at the sepulcher. Now, that word astonished carries with it surprised, but also shocked. They came and said, hey, his body's not there, guys. Now, they didn't listen to the rest of what those ladies said because the ladies didn't stop there. The ladies said, his body's not there, but the angel told us. They didn't listen to that part. The body's not there. That's all they heard. Oh, no. We knew it would happen. We studied this again a little bit last week, but there were things to understand. They walked up to this. They're making their way up early in the morning. They say, by the way, who's going to move the stone for us? By the way, the stone that weighed almost 2 tons was guarded by the guards. Remember that? When it happened, those guards fell over almost like dead. Means they passed out of fear. They got up, realized what had happened. The body's gone. Stone's rolled away. On top of that, the seal of Pilate was put on the stone, and that stone, that seal would have been broken, if you will, if that stone was moved. There's a lot of things like that we don't think about. Anyways, those two soldiers eventually get reprimanded, and some believe, Scripture says, they were probably executed. Now think about these things that took place, I'm saying there is no way this could have just been a happenstance, happen chance, coinkydink, accident. No. They came back and told us, they said, that his body's gone. And verse 23, when they found not his body, that they had also seen a vision of angels. Now think about this. Again, this is misunderstanding. They didn't see a vision of angels. They saw physical angels, real angels, not a vision. We got people today. I won't go there on all of it, but it's just ridiculous. Some of these televangelists get up and tell, oh, I had a vision. I had a vision last night of, no, you didn't. Okay, no vision happened. You're trying to get more money in your pocket and so you can pay for your private jet and your $5 million mansion. By the way, these guys will answer for that stuff. Now think about it. There's no vision. They didn't say vision. There's a vision of we saw an angel sitting there. Again, they likened it to, and this is the translation of these individuals, a young man sitting. That's what the Bible says, a young man. An angel would be a young-looking man sitting there. And he's just propped up there with his legs crossed over, sitting inside of the tomb there. You guys seeking Jesus, right? Well, yeah, yeah. He's not here. He is risen as he said. Don't you remember that? Now think about this. We saw a vision, verse 24. Certain of them came to us, were with us, went to the sepulcher. That's Peter and John. Remember, that's who they're talking about. Found it, even so as the women had said, but they saw not. Word of mouth. Word of mouth. Again, we've said this before, but the gospel is just telling other people. It's a beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. That's all it is. As we're studying this right now, but it's the gospel is just telling people what happened to you. It's not complicated. It's telling people that this is what happened. I was going through a rough patch in my life. I mean, everything was falling apart. I was drug addicted or whatever the case is, and I came to the Lord, and a friend of mine gave me a Bible, and I started to read it, and I read through this, and then a friend of mine who knows the Bible helped me through it and walked me through the gospel, realized I was a sinner. I was in need of salvation. I couldn't save myself. You go on it, that's all you're doing, right? That's all the gospel is. And you're sharing it with them. And think about this. The word of mouth, it stopped somewhere. The translation, it got lost in translation. We'll say that sometimes. Hey, this is what happened. They didn't listen to that. Well, we just came to our own conclusion. And I'm so glad. This is a good point for us today. I'm so glad that you're not listening to what I have to say. Well, you know what I think you should do? I think you should clean yourself up and stop, you know, messing around with that sinful stuff and do this and that. And then when you get to heaven, see, your good will outweigh your bad. And then Peter will let you in those pearly gates and nonsense. That's my understanding. That's my philosophy. I don't say that. What do I say? I point them back to the standard with which we abide by. And all of us answer to this book. See, it's the standard we follow. It's not what I think or I say. Praise God for that. It's what the Bible says. And we can come back to this and say, well, that's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. Again, we'll be judged out of this book. We'll have no excuses. Lord, I thought I was supposed to. I know I was supposed to. I just didn't know. I just didn't understand. The Bible point right back to the Word of God. Remove all excuses for us. Okay, now let's look at this last portion and we'll wrap it up. But I like this part. Then he said unto them, O fools. Anytime Jesus calls you a fool, that's not a good day. Okay, that is not a good day for you. And slow of hearts. A slow heart. I said last week, the expectation of nothing. You know, people pray. If you're like me, pray. Oh, Lord, help us, guide us, please. Yes, Lord, pay our bills. And Lord, no expectation. No real prayers of faith. Are you expecting God to actually answer your prayers and actually do something in your life and do something with your marriage and do something in your finances and do something, stepping out by faith and just say, oh, what can I do to help you? Lord, you don't need me. I'm a nobody. And again, I know you can accomplish a lot of stuff without me in the way, but Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. He says, you're slow of heart to believe. Such a slow heart, such a knee-jerk reaction sometimes. The faith comes or the opportunity of faith comes, we got to act on that. It's not, well, let me reason it out now. The Lord's really burdened my heart about sharing the gospel with my sister, but hang on a second. Let me think about it. No, it should be yes, sir. It should be, yes, Lord. I want to do what I can do in these areas. Okay, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures. Now that word expound is something that's lost today. A lot of preaching and teaching doesn't have, it's called expository preaching or expository teaching. It's more of this kind of random or topical teaching or preaching. Again, we ought to expound. The word expound means to pull out, if you will, to unfold. And that's what he says. I'm going to begin at Moses. And he stands there and speaks to them and quotes scripture after scripture. I said this last week. I know, pardon my repetition. But Jesus always responds with what? It is written. He never says, well, here's, this is what I say. And this is how you defeat temptation in your life in 2025. You just claim the name of Jesus and rebuke the demon. No. What's he say? It is written. So you and I in 2025, 2,000 years later, can do the same thing when Satan comes our way. It is written. This is why we got to hide the word of God in our hearts, in our mind. We memorize scripture. I'm telling you right now how much it'll help you. Knowing this, right? There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay? Just one of those verses I memorized over and over when I was a little younger to help me through temptations and trials. Now think about it. He says, listen, and beginning at Moses. So he starts at Genesis 1:1. He goes to Genesis about 3:15. It says, remember what I said to them in the garden there? I will bruise the serpent's head. He fast forwards and goes to Exodus and talks about that. And how Moses talks about that the prophet, the great prophet, he says, not me, but a prophet that will come, the prophet, capital P, is going to come. And then he moves on to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua. He says, yeah, right here, remember I appeared to pre-incarnate vision, appearance to Joshua. He goes on through the scriptures and goes all the way through all the prophets. And they're thinking about this man concerning himself. And they drew nigh. And whither they went. And they notice, made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, mister. It's toward the evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now, remember in another gospel, there's another account. He appears to them in that room, that upper room. This was Sunday evening. He appears to them, and Thomas says, well, I won't believe unless I reach hither and touch his side and touch the prints in his hands and all this. And he's really just boasting, and I don't know. I don't believe in Jesus standing behind him. You know, here, come on over and reach hither. Big shot, right? Come on over and touch, and a vision. I'm not a spirit, he says. I am physically here with you. And they constrained him. Verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and breaking it, gave it to them. And their eyes were open. Can you imagine that day? Would you like me to pray over the meal? Well, sure, mister, sure. We've had a good evening talking with you along the way, and you're a nice fellow. Man, you know the scriptures, I'll tell you that much. Boy, all the Old Testament scriptures, yeah, boy, you know the scripture. And all of a sudden, when he began to pray, they said, oh, that sounds familiar. And he broke the bread and he handed it. I don't know if his sleeve kind of lifted up like that. They saw the scars in his hand. And Jesus, in his great mercy and grace, as he does with us, didn't rebuke him, didn't get on him. It says that their eyes were open, verse 31, and they knew him. But notice this, he vanished out of their sight. It's too late. I mean, praise God that he appeared. It's too late. I mean, I don't know how long it took you to walk down the road with Jesus. You're so busy with yourself. You're so concentrated on trying to reason and understand everything. Instead of living by faith and just saying, Lord, I want to take the Bible and live it and use it and apply it and know more about you. And this is for a lot of people. It's right at the end when they say, oh, now I know the truth. Too late. Now I get it. Well, he's gone. Now I understand this. Think about that. Their eyes were open. I pray this week your eyes will be open and that you will truly know him. They knew him. We know that. We know those eyes. We know that voice. We now can see and understand it. And you remember the story of Mary standing in the garden. We sing the song, I come to the garden alone. She's standing there and what? She said, if you've taken his body, please let us know where that body's at so we can get it, sir. Assuming he was the gardener. And he says, Mary, She knew his voice. She turns around. Rabboni, Master, it's you. He says, touch me not yet. Touch me not. It's you. Listen, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and they know it. They know it. John later will say, when we see him, we will know him. There's no question about it. You know the voice of God. You know the voice that's not God. You know the voice that's the Lord's and the Holy Spirit's, and you know the voice that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never tempt you and lead you into sin. The Holy Spirit will never let you get by with laziness and lackadaisical spirituality. Never. Well, I was going to read my Bible, but the Holy Spirit told me, you better not today. I was going to go to church, but the Holy Spirit said, you better stay home. You know, your left foot isn't feeling too good. I was going to share the gospel and witness to my neighbor, but the Holy Spirit stopped me halfway and said, now's not the right time. There may be circumstances like that, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord, will never lead you away from God. The Lord always leads you closer to him, and that's why we need to have an abiding relationship with the Lord. Why? Because my sheep know my voice and they hear me. They know me. Here it is. When he calls them, their eyes were open. They knew him. Notice verse 32. We'll wrap it up here. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. One pastor I heard preach, he called it holy heartburn. their hearts were burning within them. They were talking along the way. Now think about what they just said. They were talking, they were walking, you know, they were reasoning among themselves. This fellow that just joined them along the road, which is kind of strange, he's all of a sudden talking about this stuff. He's quoting to them scripture, and their hearts were burning. I knew something was different. I knew something was wrong. I knew something was a little weird. Lack of discernment. Lack of understanding. We were talking a little bit yesterday about that. No discernment. People today don't have discernment or discretion. Those are two things every child of God should have. Discernment of what to do. Discernment of where to go. Discernment of what to say and what not to say. I'm learning this one so much. My entire life. But this right here. This thing, right? If I can keep this shut, I'll stay, amen, I'll stay out of trouble. I mean, just shut this. Don't say that. Do not do that. And if I look, again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So wherever your heart is right now, that's what's coming out. Angry, bitter, frustrated, it all is coming out. Joy of the Lord, peace, contentment, fulfillment, everything's falling apart around you, but you're still content. You're feeling good with the Lord. You have the joy of the Lord, the happiness, and all of that in your heart. What's coming out of your mouth? You're going to say things like, notice, our hearts burn within us. Oh, something was different. Yes, you fools, he calls them. Yes, you slow of heart, he calls them. How can you not discern? Jesus says you can discern the face of the skies, but you can't discern the time that I've come. You can discern that the sky is red and lowering. Oh, there's a storm coming, you think? Wow, real geniuses here. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, huh? Yeah, a three-year-old could do that. You can't discern that the Son of God is standing before you. You can't discern that the signs of the time. You and I need to be ready. Some of us have gotten real lackadaisical and we're being lulled to sleep right now. I would encourage you to get awake right now, especially right now. I'm almost done. Get awake and get ready and start studying your Bible, because I believe something's going to happen. I don't know what you believe. I'm not trying to scare you, but you that know your Bible, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And I believe a lot of us will be caught asleep, not physically asleep, spiritually asleep. I think something's happening. Now, depending on what you believe right now about what's taking place, if you saw yesterday, every world leader, every one of them that have any significance, where were they? Gathered together around the Pope, standing around his casket. Wonder what that's about. I wonder if the Bible says anything about that. I wonder if somebody wrote about that 2,000 years ago. People have mocked this book. They've tried to burn this book. They tried to spit on this book. They think it's a fairy tale and a fantasy. I'm telling you something. This is the most accurate book ever written in human history. Ever accurate. You still doubt the Bible? I'd encourage you to study it. You'll find it. Every world leader was gathered around yesterday paying their condolences to the Pope. Our own president was there giving his condolences to the Pope. Listen, does that not sound like a one world order united under the guise of an antichrist? This man is going to rise to power and say, hey, the Pope is gone. He may be the Pope himself and say, listen, I have the answer. If you'll all follow me, let's all unite together. Muslims, Hindus, Christians, so-called, and every other religion will gather together and say, okay, we'll follow this. And by the way, notice this. It's not against Jesus. Notice this. They're not gathered together against Jesus like Satan worshipers. They're all gathered together in the name of Jesus. Our president claims to be a Christian. Not sure what kind, but they're all gathered together. Oh, we want to, you know, the Holy Father. And then he's going to pull the rug out from under them. And it's little churches like ours that actually know the Bible and know the truth. And people may mock us and point the finger and say, you guys are a bunch of weird people. How can you not serve? How can you not be faithful to the Pope? How can you not be faithful to the Mother Church? Don't you think that all Christians that claim the name of Christ are all together under the one umbrella? No, because we don't believe just because you name the name of Jesus. Jesus says that himself. Many will come to him in that day. Many, not few, many, millions will come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, it's me. It's me. And he's going to say, what? I never knew you. But I was a cardinal. I was a priest. I was an imam. I never knew you. See, you quoted my name, but you never knew me here. We need to understand this. Now, okay, let's be done here. Think about this. Can I encourage you this week? Don't be so slow of heart. Again, pointing the finger to me. Don't be so slow of heart to believe this book. To believe it. So many people, many teenagers, they know more of the inside of what goes on at H&M. They know more of what's going on right now on Instagram and the current trends and other things. They know more about what Taylor Swift is doing than what the inside of this book is. They know more about what's going on underneath the hood of their truck and down the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun. They know more of that than they know the inside of this book. They know more. I'm telling you today, we're going to be so duped and deceived. Would we as God's people today be men, women, boys, and girls that know the Bible, that say, I know the Bible. What, guess what Peter says? You know, there's people that are going to come and say, hey, what gives you such peace? How in the midst of such turmoil and trial? By the way, during the time Peter wrote this, tremendous persecution of the church and of God's people. You're about to be executed, Peter. What gives you such joy and peace? He says, well, be ready. That they ask you the reason of the hope that's in you. You have an answer. Many people don't have an answer. You have a reason of the hope that's in you? Why have you such joy and peace in your heart? Well, I don't know. We say, do you have some time? Hey, can we meet over for some coffee? I want to share the Bible with you. It won't take long. Hey, I know exactly how to answer. I want to tell you, it's found in Jesus Christ. Amen. I love all of you. You're so faithful. Thank you for being so faithful. And appreciate you being so good at studying the Bible and knowing the Bible. I truly believe all of us in this room, we will not be duped and deceived. We know the truth, and I'm so glad to be able to preach to you, okay? Would you, with me this week, not be slow of heart to react to the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit speaks and moves in your heart. You react to that. Okay, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm not slow of heart, expectation of nothing. Well, I don't know, let's reason together and think about it before I... No, I want to do what Lord wants me to do, and we can do that, and I know you will. Thank you for listening. Would you stand with me, and we'll be done today. I thank you for coming out today. I'm praying for you. I know that many of you are going through some challenging seasons right now, but the Lord is in control, and I'm so thankful. The world's falling apart all around us. We know the truth. Amen.